Welcome to Real Money Radio, the show that focuses on real people, real problems, and real solutions. Here's your host, certified financial planner, David Holland.
And welcome back. Another good show for you, at least I think so. We'll find out here. Let's dive right in. So another part of your financial picture is, of course, your insurance. You know, all that stuff that you want to make sure doesn't break, and if it does break, you can get it paid for if it would cost a lot for you to do it yourself. And so I'm talking about auto insurance, house insurance, all these other things that could potentially be a challenge. And we are very fortunate to have literally across the street from our office a Mr. Ryan Ochipa, State Farm Insurance Agent, and he's in the studio with us. And we've had Ryan on before. We're going to have him back now, of course, today, and talk with him, get an update on some of these issues, some trends going on in the auto, personal lines, homeowners, all of those things, and maybe some other stuff that don't get talked about quite as much. So welcome back, Mr. Ryan Ochipa. Woo, we need an applause thing for Ryan. Can we work on that, Amanda? All right. Hey, Ryan.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Yes. I'm sorry I couldn't do the sound effect there. All right. So, listen, I want to dive in, but of course, I don't know if we really properly introduced you last time. We'll certainly will this time. So, this runs in the family. Your dad was a State Farm agent?
Yeah, for, 37, 38 years.
Wow.
Down in Miami.
All
mm-hmm.
right. So, you know, you kind of had a big advantage coming into this business versus a competition. You know, you had all those years of sitting at the kitchen table and hearing all about these horror stories or crazy situations. And
yeah, I did. I grew up around the business. As soon as I could start to drive, I started working for him, going out and inspecting houses. And I worked for some other agents in the area doing
cool.
the same thing. And it was something I was familiar with. And so I ended up getting a degree in risk management and went to work as a claims adjuster for State Farm for about 5 years after that. And I sold a little bit of commercial insurance too for a while, but then ended up getting on with State Farm and getting my own agency.
Here you are. Excellent. Yep.
Yeah.
Right here in Ormond Beach. All right. Excellent. And you have your bachelor's degree, risk management, naturally,
yep.
from Florida State University. Now I know why Beth wanted you to come on the program. Yeah. Beth Muthar, our radio producer, is a big Florida State fan.
So. I will be going to Tallahassee tomorrow for the
All
game.
Right. All right. Well, have fun. And also certified insurance counselor. Now, for people that don't know about that, that was actually pretty hard to get.
Yeah, it was. I think it's a 5-course series, and the tests were pretty intense.
Yeah, they're pretty intense. You don't just get to send that in the mail and get a little, you know, a little automatic certification. All right. So let's dive in with that proper introduction and talk about some of the things going on. There's one of the easy ones, of course, to kind of throw out for you, Ryan, is the hurricanes. And I mentioned to Ryan, ladies and gentlemen, that I wanted to talk about hurricanes. He goes, you mean the lack of? And
yes.
Well, you know, we just had this recent quote-unquote big scare with Hurricane Jay. I can't really pronounce how whatever they called it. But anyway, all I know is it was a Category 4, and they didn't know where it was headed. And then finally, they figured out where it was going after it started going that way. You know,
right.
they were really having a hard time predicting the storm's right. path. And it ended up doing a lot of flooding in the Carolinas. I mean, these are some serious things. So if that had hit the state of Florida, good Lord.
Yeah, that's right? bad news. In fact, one of the ladies who works with me was in Charleston over the weekend, and she ended up getting her car flooded out. She was just visiting her cousin. It was sitting in her driveway, and she called me early in the morning and said, you know, I'm not going to make it in on Monday. My car is underwater. So
wow.
it was bad news up there.
Yeah, but she didn't mean that she owed more than it was worth. She meant it was literally underwater.
Literally underwater, yeah.
Okay, so the fun question there, is that covered by flood insurance or her auto insurance?
It's through her auto insurance, definitely. It's a comprehensive loss claim.
You don't consider the water hitting the car a collision?
No.
I'm sorry.
No.
That's just my feeble attempt at some insurance humor. All right, so the hurricane then, it's going to cause a lot of damage, and there's going to be big claims in those areas. That, you know, flood, I think for a lot of people don't realize just how devastating floods can be in terms
oh, yeah.
of property damage. It's just crazy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it causes a lot, and it's not just the homes. It's also the cars. Now, I had worked cat duty down in Miami, gosh, maybe 15 years ago, 18 years ago now, and when you get a lot of water that inundates a city like that, I don't think people realize, but the cars get abandoned all over
right.
town. People drive into the puddles or can't get out of the water or it rises on them. You end up with thousands of cars left all over the town and tow trucks going here and there. It kind of gets to a point where You know, most of the insurance companies will look at it real quick and they say, you know, how high did the water get? And they're looking to see if that water reached the electrical panel, you know. So
if
it reached the dashboard, then they're making a real quick decision. Let's total this one and go on to the next one.
Okay.
If they can dry them out and it didn't get into the electrical system, then, you know, they got some engine work to do. But you can save some of the cars. But it's not a good idea to turn the car on once it's been inundated with water either. It can cause mechanical problems and stuff in the engine block. So
they don't hang them on a clothesline. How do you dry out a car?
Yeah, it's not easy to do. You know, they have chemicals that they say will work, and I think that for the most part it can. But if you need a quick fix, throw kitty litter in there.
Okay. All right. Good to know. All right. Yeah. Hey, listen, we got all kinds of solutions here on the program. Okay. So now your comment to me was about the lack of hurricanes. You know, of course, this most recent one certainly could impact this discussion, but how does that affect the insurance companies? You know, is it necessarily, I know this is going to sound kind of an odd question, but is it a good thing that we don't have hurricanes? Is that better for insurance?
Definitely.
Okay.
I mean, we don't want hurricanes. We don't want any major storms. You know, anything that impacts, you know, society is not good. But from an insurance point of view, yeah, the less that the companies have to spend, then, you know, the lower your premiums will be in the long run.
Yeah, they're going to pass that right through to you, the consumer, ladies and gentlemen.
So we've been, I don't know if you want to call it luck or what you want to call it, but it's been 11 years now, I think, since we've had a storm hit anywhere in the state of Florida. And so if we can keep that trend going, it's definitely helped the insurance companies and allowed them to build their surplus up so that they can handle storms better in the future.
Excellent. Well, and I want to come back real quick before we move from this topic about flood insurance, because I think a lot of times people say, oh, good, I'm not in a floodplain, or I don't have to get it, so I don't have to pay for it. And, you know, then we see the potential costs that could be associated with it. So what do you recommend? You typically say to people, look, you have to have it or you don't, but if you don't have to have it, maybe you still should.
Yeah, I mean, I recommend people buy it, especially if they're unfamiliar with the area. You have to understand that your homeowner's policy, it doesn't matter who you buy it from, homeowner's insurance does not cover you for flooding. And flooding would be rising water from outside of the house that gets so high that it comes into the house. So we're not talking about a pipe that broke in the house or anything like that.
Or my daughter leaving the water on in the tub.
Right. If the water rises from outside of the house and comes into the house, it's a flood. And whether you are in a flood zone or not, it's still a flood and still not covered by your homeowner's insurance. So if you're afraid that your house could flood, you know, don't worry about whether you're in a zone or not. If it floods, it floods, and you would need to have flood insurance, you know, that you buy separately in order to cover you for that. So I normally tell people, unless you're really familiar with the area, buy it until you're comfortable, you know.
Yeah.
Go through a few big rainstorms and see what it looks like.
Well, I know I have it, and I think you'd agree that that's not a bad idea. I'm close enough to a waterway, the river, Little Tomoka River over here. I'm close enough to it that if there was a really, really, really bad storm surge, it would definitely could come my way. I'm not on the river, but I'm across from it,
and
I'm close enough that it could get there. You know.
Yeah, and even if you're not near water, you know, this is Florida. A lot of this was swamp land, or still is swamp land. A lot of it's been filled in, and Water can rise anywhere here. So.
All right. Well, there you go. Well, let's grab a quick break, and we'll come back and talk more about some other very current, relevant things happening, Citizens and what's going on there, and then also about your credit rating, how that can affect your auto insurance. So we've got Ryan Ochipa in the house. Ryan Ochipa, O-C-H-I-P-A. That's how you spell it. RyanOchipa.com. Right back.
What if in the time it takes you to eat lunch, you could potentially strengthen your financial future? Would you invest 1 hour to plan stronger? Well, if you spend just 1 hour with certified financial planner David Holland, you'll get simple, straightforward advice to help you plan stronger. It's as simple as that. And if you already have a financial plan, isn't it worth an hour to get a second opinion? And there's no cost or obligation to meet with David. All you need to do is simply call 671-PLAN, that's 671-PLAN, or visit planstronger.com for more information.
All right, we're back with Ryan Ochipa, having fun. You know, it's good to make some fun out of some of these serious subjects, but something new that we want to talk to Ryan about is citizens. What's happening with citizens? And there is this thing underway that I really am not even going to try to explain. I'll defer my time to Ryan, right? What's going on with citizens?
Yeah, so, you know, as most people in Florida know, Citizens is an insurance company that's owned by the state of Florida. It was started after Hurricane Andrew in, what was that, 92, 93. It was originally the place of last resort for you to place your insurance. As we've had different governors throughout the year, the company's kind of taken a different course. The previous governor, Charlie Crist, had kind of grown the company. I can't speak for him, but I think that he felt that you could control prices in the insurance industry better if the state of Florida was more involved in it and was actually competing out there for the business. So at one point in time, Citizens had grown to about the third largest property insurer in the United States.
Wow.
You know, now we have Rick Scott, and he takes more of an approach of, you know, the private
free
industry.
Market.
Yeah, they should handle it, not the state. So he would like to see the size of Citizens Insurance decrease. Let's flush as many people as we can out into the private market. So, you know, the real problem is that there's just not enough companies that want to do business in Florida because of the hurricanes. So you can't just close Citizens and send everybody back on out. So, you know, what they do is kind of what you saw the insurance companies doing 6 and 7 years ago, where, you know, rather than, since it's the state, they won't just come on out and cancel you like insurance companies did, but they want to make their company smaller. You know, they have exposure that's way up high, and they have an amount of money in the bank that's way down low, and you need to get somewhere in the middle where your exposure and your money equal each other. So you do that by raising rates and getting rid of clients little by little. So what the state will do in order to decrease the size is they find insurance companies that are willing to do business in the state of Florida, and then they basically sell them policies out of the state's insurance company, you know, at a low price. So
Okay. It's
a win-win. The insurance companies get to grab some market share relatively quickly at an inexpensive cost, and the state gets to, you know, reduce their exposure.
Okay.
You know, where the problem comes in is that it's very confusing in how it's done, and it's done in several different ways. You know, it's mostly called a takeout, where your policy is with Citizens Insurance, and then, you know, another company sends you a letter in the mail and says, hey, we would like to buy your policy away from Citizens, and you get a choice. You can either go to the new company, or you can stay with the state of Florida. And what you should do, you know, kind of depends on your particular situation. The other way they do it these days is they have a new computer system, and upon your renewal with Citizens Insurance, it will automatically shop you with a handful of companies.
Oh, okay.
And if one of these companies comes back and offers you insurance and it's at a lower cost than what the state is doing, then you're forced to go with that other company.
Oh, okay.
So it all sounds good, but, you know, in the real world, it doesn't always work so smoothly. It's very, very confusing for the clients, and we spend quite a bit of time helping people with that these days.
Well, that, Ryan, that's the point. You know, somebody wants to figure that out. They need to talk to somebody like you, and of course, you can do that by going to Ryan's website, rhinochippa.com, and the telephone number is 386-677-1119, and you can get a hold of Ryan and his staff, and they can help you with figuring, detangling, figuring out the Citizens transition, and if that's a good thing for you. The other thing that I want to make sure we got to as a topic, Ryan, and I've got a long list here, so don't worry, we will not I've got a whole scroll over here of insurance questions. But the other one, which has been a trend that's been coming on the scene as it relates to automobile insurance, and it does affect other types of insurance as well, and you may see it more and more, is the credit rating with your auto insurance. So what's going on there?
You know, times are changing, and I'm sure you see
this. You bounce checks, you run red lights?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's what a statistician might be able to say. You know, it's definitely something that's real, and it's hitting not just the insurance industry. I'm sure you see it in the financial industry.
Sure, we do.
But statistical modeling has kind of taken over in a lot of industries.
The numbers don't lie.
Yeah, yeah.
Hips might, but numbers don't.
I know. You put enough people in the pot, and eventually you're going to get some truth that comes out. And so they create models or molds, maybe you might want to call them. And if you don't fit the mold, then, you know, you may not like what the result of that is. So statistical modeling is here to stay, and credit has a lot to do with that. So a statistician or an actuary would say that they can draw a correlation, a strong correlation, between certain aspects of credit and your propensity to have a loss in the future.
Mm.
Yeah, I'm not smart enough to understand all of that
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah, but you know the words. That counts for something. I mean, you know.
Well, you know, I don't know enough about the math, but it's not your credit score that they're looking at. It's certain aspects or patterns, let's say, in your credit. And if you get a large enough group of people, they feel that these patterns hold true, that these things they see tend to lead to losses in the future. And, you know, they believe in it strongly enough that all the insurance companies are doing it these days. And so that's a big change in the way that you know, how insurance is priced today versus how it was priced in the past. And it's mostly in auto insurance, but it's coming into homeowners insurance and other things too.
So it's not something someone can really avoid. I mean, it's here to stay.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, unless
you can't like shop around and say, "Hey, Ryan, get me an insurance company that doesn't check my credit."
You know,
I mean, it's not really practical.
I don't think it's easy to do.
Yeah.
And so some of the smaller insurance companies may not do it because they might not have the funds, you know, to put the research into it. But all your major insurance companies do it for sure.
Mm.
So
more and more they are keeping track.
Yeah.
I mean, it's Big Brother.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so it definitely happens on new clients. You know, the question is, do the companies do it on all the existing clients?
Hmm.
And, you know, will they want to do it on existing clients going forward? And what are the legalities of that and stuff? So, you know, it's one of those things that's interesting because it plays a large role in what your overall cost is. It's legal to do because it's not the only thing they look at. They still look at, you know, your age and the number of accidents you have, things of that nature. But this credit portion is in there, and it's a big portion of it. So
now they don't check my cholesterol or anything like that, do
no.
they? Okay.
No. Right. No, that's for life insurance.
All right. Yeah. Okay. All right. I'm taking notes here. Well, but they do. Then I have to ask about this too, because I know you'll have an opinion about it, Ryan. And you know, I've seen or heard talk of, and maybe it was a commercial for Progressive or somebody like that, but they have this new thing where it's like a driver monitoring device where they can put it in your car, you sign up for it, and somehow that gives you a discount that they track. I guess they check your speed to make sure you're not going 200 miles an hour. I don't know.
Yeah, definitely. But
what's the deal with that?
I think Progressive was probably the first big company that came out with this. I think they call it Snapshot. It's a device. It plugs in right under the steering column. Most of the cars these days have a port underneath your steering column where they can plug in for diagnostics. So if you take your car down to the mechanic shop, they just plug it in.
They plug it right in. Okay.
And the computer tells you what's wrong with the car. You know, that's how it works these days. Well, you can plug a device. It looks like a little tiny cartridge. It's a small box. You plug it in there, and it tracks you. You know, much like OnStar does, let's say, for Chevy. And what is it? Ford has Sync these days.
Okay.
You know, those are helpful devices that can give you information, but they can also tell where your car is and what it's doing.
And how fast it's going and how many G's it's taking.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know, how many times you turn right, how hard you hit the gas, how hard you step on the brake. All those things.
Well, see, now I have a solution. What we can do is we can sign up for that, and then what we do, instead of plugging it to our car, just plug it into your lawnmower. All right? And, you know, it goes around the yard. And then, meanwhile, you go as fast as you want in your car. Not really, but it is a funny kind of, it seems like an overreach, but people, it's a voluntary thing, you know.
It is. It's voluntary, and the idea is that we're going to tailor the cost of your insurance to how you drive as opposed to
Other people.
Yeah.
Right? Because
It's
the big numbers game.
Yeah.
Very interesting stuff. Ryan Ochippa, ladies and gentlemen, State Farm agent right here in Ormond Beach, ryanochippa.com. Quick break. We'll be back. Stay right there.
Yep.
When it comes to finding a financial advisor you can trust, do you know the right questions to ask? David Holland has written a popular book that can help, and it's called How to Get Great Advice and Avoid Scams. David has crammed his experience and insider knowledge about advisors and how they operate into this popular book. Visit Amazon.com to order your copy. Or if you want to meet one-on-one with David to talk about your financial goals and concerns, he'll give you a free copy of his book with no cost, no obligation. The number to call for your appointment with David is 671-PLAN. That's 671-PLAN. Or visit planstronger.com. Do you have financial questions you'd like answered on this show? Send them to questions@planstronger.com. You will remain anonymous.
And we're back. Rhino Chip in the house talking with us about insurance, auto, home, and some of these new developments. RhinoChip.com, 386-677-1119. And I want to ask, I didn't prepare Ryan for this. I didn't tell him this was a topic, but I'm just going to throw it at him because I know you'll be able to handle it without any problem. So I had a fender bender not long ago, Ryan. Mm-hmm. I got rear-ended.
Okay.
And so there's damage to the rear end of the car. Thankfully, nobody's hurt. That's the most important thing. But the question that a lot of people have, and of course, I didn't have a choice because of the amount of damage, but sometimes people wonder about, gosh, if I get in an accident, it's not really anything. Do I report it to my insurance? It's going to not cost much to fix, or maybe it doesn't even need to be fixed. We talked about Big Brother and how quickly things are reported. You have this new thing now with Carfax and the reporting of the information. Now, from my perspective, if I'm in an accident, I'm going to report it, period. But for something minor, it kind of gets into this question, is it really worth it to report it? So I don't know. What do you think about all that? I mean, it's kind of murky. I'm kind of one of these guys that follows the rules, you know, and
right,
I'm like, whatever
right.
it is, and I'm going to do it. But I don't know. What are you seeing happening in the marketplace?
Yeah, you know,
this?
The insurance company would tell you report it.
Okay.
But in the real world, a lot of times people don't report their claims, and I've had claims that I haven't reported because they were small.
Okay.
I would say this: if someone's hurt, definitely report
you have
it.
To, yeah, you
yeah
have
because
to.
You don't want someone coming back in claiming something, and
the insurance company says, "Well, you didn't tell us."
Right,
it's not our problem.
The amount that it costs to fix a car is finite. You know how much it is. An injury claim could be worth any number. So when someone's hurt, I say definitely always report it. If you're going to decide to fix the car on your own, or you make a deal with the person that hit you or something like that, and you decide to do this on the side, I would just say you have to be careful.
Yeah.
Because, you know, first of all, not everybody keeps their word out there. So you
what?
Might you might think
oh
you
my
have
gosh.
A deal with this person and
yeah.
then it ends up that you really didn't.
Right.
And then even if you guys are both, you know, honestly trying to solve the problem, other things can still arise. Like, you know, let's say that the estimate was $1,000 to get the bumper repainted. Not a big deal. You guys decide you're going to settle it on your own. You get it done. The person gets the car back, and they're unhappy with the paint job, okay? And then they're like, well, you know, we need to fix it again, and now you owe me more money. And
right.
That, you know, that can get a little bit ugly. And then if you try to get your insurance company involved after the fact, they're going to say, I'm sorry, but, you know, right here in the contract, it says that we reserve the right to settle the claim. You can't settle your own claim, you know, on our behalf. You tried to go do this yourself, and we can't step in and help you now.
Yeah, we say you go ahead and keep doing that.
Yeah,
keep going down the path you're on.
Yeah, so, you know, it's one of those things, you know, technically I would advise somebody always call your insurance company, but it does depend on the situation. For very, very minor things, you know, it might be something you could handle for yourself. You just have to watch out because unforeseen things could arise that kind of ruin your plan.
That's right. Absolutely. Well, I think that in doubt, definitely report it. All right. And then we've got a couple of minutes. I want to get to a couple more topics real quick. We talked about hurricanes being the, you know, the bringing of all the rain and storm and weather. Then in the absence of that, we sometimes have sinkholes.
Yeah.
So is a sinkhole, we do see this happen in Florida and, of course, other parts of the country as well. Is that a standard coverage thing, or do I need to go and get an extra sinkhole policy like I do for flood?
Yeah, you know, in the state of Florida, sinkhole has always been a mandatory endorsement. It's not part of the policy. We tack it on after the fact, but you've always had to buy it until about 4 years ago, maybe. You know, we had a lot of problems in the state of Florida with fraudulent sinkhole claims because the sinkhole endorsement used to say that if you thought you had a sinkhole, you file a claim, the insurance company sends somebody out to do testing. If it turns out it's a sinkhole, you're covered. If it turned out that it was something like settling, then settling's not something that's covered in the policy. The problem is that the cost to test for a sinkhole is $7,000 to $10,000.
Oh my gosh.
And so I think that, you know, certain people had gotten hold of this information, and there was a lot of fraudulent sinkhole claims being filed around the state. It became such a problem that the state stepped in. They ended up rewriting the sinkhole endorsement. They call it now catastrophic ground collapse coverage. The big difference, you know, I'm sure there's a number of differences, but the really big difference is that these days, through that new endorsement, the homeowner is responsible for the testing, the cost of the testing.
I gotcha.
And if it turns out that it's a sinkhole, then you'll get reimbursed for your
testing.
So you
better be serious about it.
Yeah, you'll get reimbursed, and they'll take care of the sinkhole. But if it's not a sinkhole, then the homeowner does not get reimbursed for the cost of the testing. That solved the fraudulent sinkhole claim problem. And the old sinkhole endorsement is still available with most companies, but you have to pay extra for it.
Right.
And most people have to go through some type of a sinkhole inspection before the company will allow you to tack it onto the policy these days.
Wow.
So you're still covered for sinkholes. It just works a little bit different.
Okay, excellent. And one final thing, we've got a barely a minute here. In fact, less than that. I want to ask you about umbrella policies. Recommend for everybody. Who doesn't need an umbrella policy?
Well, I don't think umbrella policies are for everyone. You know, to make it really simple, the better you've done for yourself, the more wealth you've accumulated, the more important that umbrella policy needs to be. People need to take an honest look at themselves as far as how much they are worth. And then they need to go see somebody like David Holland to tell them, where's my money situated? Is it able to be collected on taken from me by a creditor or not? Because some things are not, they can't take from you anyways. So.
All right. Can't get blood from a turnip, all right, or a stone, or I don't know, something like that. Can't get it from any of them.
Exactly.
All right. Ryan Ochippa, State Farm Insurance Agent, ryanochippa.com, 386-677-1119. Ryan, thank you very much for being on the program.
No, thank you.
Today's edition of Real Money Radio has been brought to you by Holland Financial, conveniently located on Granada Boulevard in Ormond Beach. Could you benefit from a one-on-one confidential conversation with David Holland, or would you like a second opinion to make sure that you're on the right track? Call Holland Financial at 671-PLAN or visit us at planstronger.com to schedule your no-obligation consultation. David looks forward to discussing the financial issues that matter most to you. The host of Real Money Radio, David Holland, is a certified financial planner with over 20 years of experience. And because David provides advice to clients on a daily basis, his hyperactive compliance department wants us to tell you that David Holland is an investment advisor representative of Holland Advisory Services, a registered investment advisory firm. He offers insurance and annuity products through Holland Insurance Services. Commentary given during this radio program should not be considered investment, insurance, tax, or legal advice. Views expressed concerning specific securities are not an offer to buy or sell. Investment advice and planning services can only be given after an analysis of an individual situation and only where Holland Advisory Services is registered or exempt from registering. Real Money Radio is produced by Holland Productions.